There's a lot of a sense when we hear something, there's much more fear, much more concern than when we are in the daylight. We can hear a lot of noises in the day and they don't really bother us at all because in the day we can see. We know the dangers around us. We understand the problems that we could face. And so when it says that there was darkness over the surface of the deep, this is a darkness that has no sun, no stars, no moon. This is a darkness that we can only see if we are in a dark room with all the doors closed. I say we can see, we can experience. And so when we move from that to the more complex, and I'm just going to throw all these verses up there. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Without a point of reference, we are not in a position to understand exactly what this light is, because this is not light like we see in this world. God created light, but he dwells in light. And the light that this is describing, as we see in John chapter 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So now we have an issue where we don't have a spiritual sense to understand this light. We can be in the darkness, and the light can be, well, the light can be in a book that's right next to us, but we don't comprehend it until we recognize something. The scriptures are as bright as the sun with the spiritual truths that are in them. This is why it's so terrible that today the darkness is saying that we can't really trust Paul or we can't really trust the scriptures. And what we're doing is we are creating a doubt regarding the light. So in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now again, when we see the sunrise, everything starts to change. We start to see color, we start to see texture, we see everything around us, we know where the dangers are, we feel much more comfortable, much more sure. Walking at night, you have to be careful. So everything that God has revealed is or should be seen as light coming down from heaven. When we're reading the Word of God, the Old Testament puts it this way, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So the darkness, the spiritual darkness, which is far more dangerous, the Satan is walking about like a roaring lion, but if we don't know, if we're not in the light, we won't see him until we're already destroyed. In continuing in John, this is the condemnations in John chapter 3. Right after God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus said this. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So now the parable starts to take on a little bit clearer perspective. These people are in the darkness. They want to stay in the darkness because they want to be able to continue doing what they want to do without the light condemning them, revealing to them that their actions are not pleasing to God and have a consequence. Most men don't want to know about that. Verse 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light. So now darkness and evil and ignorance are on the one side, and light and knowledge and moral purity are on the other. Now in verse 21, he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen. You know, the slight difference between an action that is in the darkness and sin and an action that is in the light and proper can only be learned if we open up the book of light and see if our practices are light or darkness. Now, some people don't want to know that. Some people would prefer to live in the darkness. They don't want to know about heaven and hell. They don't want to think about the consequences of what they're doing. They just want to enjoy their life. So when Jesus comes into the world, he's the light that has come into the world, and men loved darkness more than they loved Jesus. Matter of fact, they hated Jesus because he brought light. So we have a group of people who are spiritually, well, we didn't get to it this morning, but in Philippians chapter 2, it says, we are shining as lights in the darkness. Just like Jesus, we are reflecting the light of truth into the world, but here's the problem. The world is constantly trying to find a compromise where darkness, how did he put it? Woe unto those who put light for darkness. Woe unto those who put darkness for light. Woe unto those who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. We have a lot of that going on in the world today. And many of the denominations are moving the darkness into the light, and they're proclaiming that these things that the Word of God calls darkness are actually light. So woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. We don't want to fall into that trap. As I've said, there are so many people today who believe that they're religious people who are calling evil, scriptures plainly call it evil, but they're calling it good. And their calling it good has led to what Peter talked about, and that is a way of truth is evil spoken of. And the Lord's church is going to be evil spoken of. And we simply have to realize that if we're doing what the scriptures say, we are walking in the light of heaven. We are walking in the light which will lead us into the light, and we will forever live with God in light. But if we fall into the darkness, then Jesus says we will be cast into the outer darkness where Satan is, and where Satan and all of those who have fallen into the trap that he has set will be. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. So this parable in Genesis chapter 1 that John has said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Everything proceeding from God is light. And everything that contradicts anything that God says is darkness. And so if we can accept that, then all of our concern that the world is going to be offended by what the scriptures say, so we want to be careful, we don't have to be careful. This is the light. And if we're going to let our light shine, we can't be ashamed of anything that is in the scriptures because that is the light. Jesus brought the light into the world, and then he, through the Holy Spirit, encapsulated that light into the scriptures. And as long as we are walking by faith and not by sight, as long as we are accepting the scriptures as the truth, we will be in the light. Because God lives in eternal light. And it was Satan who introduced darkness into the world. Before Satan, at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve were in the light. They were in the light just like the angels are in the light, just like God is in the light, just like all who are accepting what God reveals, because heaven is eternal life and where God, or excuse me, eternal light. And where God is eternal light. And God has taken through his Son that eternal life and introduced it back into the world again. The people who sat in darkness, Isaiah chapter 9, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. So when the light dispels the darkness, we have a small window of opportunity of moving into that light. But as James put it, if you look at your face in a mirror and then you leave the mirror, you will immediately forget what kind of a man you were. So Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now that's why back in chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So when our more liberal brethren start to tell us that what the scriptures reveal about the work of the church, the organization of the church, what the scriptures reveal about how the church should get its money, those are not light. They're just suggestions. And we can stay in the light, even if we move away from those truths. But John said, whosoever goeth onward and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we let go of God's plans in the scriptures, all we have is darkness. We don't even have a point of reference. We can't even figure out. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that the church reflects the manifold wisdom of God. But not just any church, the church that is revealed in the light of God's word. And the closer we can get the church to the scriptures, the more light the church is going to have. And so Jesus says again in verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And then he continues on, if anyone hears my words and doesn't believe them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now that's why it's the light. And that's why we cannot afford, we cannot risk any darkness entering into the church. Anytime someone makes a suggestion that is not in the scriptures, it's like we talked about this morning, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Don't look for ways to change the scriptures to suit the way you want the church to be or you want to live. Because everyone who does that, just like Adam and Eve found out, everyone who will not abide in the teachings is going to end up in the darkness. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, the apostles did the same thing. Whenever they saw darkness entering the church, they would fire off a letter to them or they'd preach to them. So the 1 Corinthian letter is Paul bringing the Corinthians out of the darkness into the light. And the 2 Corinthian letter, the same thing. And the Galatians were quickly removing to enter into the darkness. So Paul wrote a letter. Every word in that letter must be understood and accepted, or we're not going to come out of the darkness. This is the only, brethren, the only way we can know what light is in the spiritual realm is to find it in the scriptures. Because the world is in darkness. You can't expect any light to come out of the world. Because eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man the things God prepared for those who love him. So the only place that we can find the things that God has prepared is in the scriptures. That's what worries me so much about the way the world is going, the way the church is going. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, you'll be in the light. Lean on your own understanding, off into the darkness. And as Jesus pointed out, when you bring the light to people that are in the darkness, they hate the light and they don't want to come to the light. Even people, when we try to talk to them about baptism, we try to bring them into the light of what God revealed about baptism. That baptism brings remission of sins. That baptism is just like Noah's Ark, and those who enter through baptism will be saved. But those who refuse to enter will be like those who didn't enter Noah's Ark. So we try. It's not even a moral thing. It's just a doctrinal thing. I say just a doctrinal thing. But those who refuse to do it are still in the darkness. And whether they like to admit it or not, they hate the light. Because if they love the light and they saw what God said, they would immediately come out of the darkness into the light. And we've seen people do this. We've seen people in denominations who have never, ever understood the nature of how to obey the gospel. And when you show them, they're very happy. But many people are not happy because they love the darkness more than the light. So the next time we're preaching to someone, we can't get them to see. We take the scriptures, we show them the light of the truth in the scriptures, and they can't see it. Well, we'll get to this verse toward the end of the lesson. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. They don't want to see it. So I'm not going to spend too much time on it. These are just some thoughts that I put down while I was preparing the lesson today. That God's word contains eternal light. Light shining down out of heaven as Jesus brought it into this world. And if we want to live in eternity, we can't stay in the darkness. There is no darkness in heaven. And we have to love the light of Scripture more than we love what's in this world. And so, just a couple of other points here. On the day of judgment, what is it, the last 3 points there, on the day of judgment, we're going to be judged by this light. If we hated it, we wouldn't fit in heaven anyway. We wouldn't want to, we'd want to be there because of the blessings that are there, but we wouldn't be comfortable there. Because God has expectations. We have to walk in the light here if we want to walk in the light there. And if we walk in the darkness here, it means we're going to be cast into the darkness there. Now, the point of this is simply to show the urgency. We came out of the darkness. We have no idea. Jesus said, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Sometimes we're in the darkness. We don't even know it. That's what sermons are for. Sermons are little pockets of light focusing on a specific action where we can take our actions, compare them with the light of the truth, and then show God we love the light by changing, or show God we love the darkness more than the light by not changing. So, if we leave God, we leave the light. The scriptures are just like the sun, the moon, and the stars. As long as we are under the light of the scriptures, we can see the truth. Just like if we're under the light of the sun. But if we go down into a cave and they turn out all the lights, that's darkness. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, we understand this to be what happened after Noah and his sons got off the ark. And then, as we read in Genesis, what, chapter 10 and 11, we read about the Tower of Babel. We read about God casting them throughout all the world. And then the next time we read about them, they're deeply involved in idolatry. Every one of the nations is deeply involved in idolatry. That's why God pulled Abraham out. He was in the darkness. His father served the gods beyond the river. Became futile in their speculations. We talked about a few of them in our class this morning, where we talked about the fact that there are people out there who say, no harm, no foul. Who say, privacy of your own home, do whatever you want to do. And that is perfect for those in the darkness. But God said, woe unto those who put light for darkness, or excuse me, put darkness for light. Woe unto those who put bitter for sweet. So the night is almost gone. And the day is near. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, the armor of the light is everything that's in the Scriptures. If we accept everything in the Scriptures as absolute truth, we can stay in the light. If we start thinking that human wisdom can replace the Scriptures, that's Satan's way of leading us back into the darkness. So when people who don't want the light find an alternative like evolution, like the Big Bang, then we've got to incorporate that darkness into the Scriptures by changing what God said He did in Genesis to what man thinks He must have done in order to incorporate what scientific thinking is today. Unfortunately, that scientific thinking is leading people back into the darkness. And so all light is in the Scriptures. If we accept what God says, we can stay in the light. But if we modify what God says in any way, whether it's morally or doctrinally or practically or just something that we don't like, it leads us to not fit in with the people. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers in them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Are we, though? Are we light in the Lord? Are we walking as children of light? We wouldn't know. We were darkness. That aimless conduct handed down from our fathers, we can't see it. It seems as normal as what the Scriptures say because we grew up with it. And so we have a real challenge, those of us who are, and the deeper we're in the darkness, the more of a challenge we have. And the more, as Paul said, have to stop being conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so as we're reading the Scriptures, we are comparing the Scriptures with our conduct. We are comparing the darkness with the light. We are leaving the darkness and coming into the light. Or we are loving the darkness more than the light. And every time a sermon is preached and you start squirming and you start being a little uncomfortable, that's because there's still some darkness in you. And if you can't wait to get out of here, and the quicker you can forget it, the better. It means you love darkness more than light. Paul said, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world or the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So now we learn that the light that Jesus brought into the world is now embodied in the Scriptures. So the Scriptures, this is a pretty terrible analogy, but the Scriptures are like a flashlight. Except they're as bright as the sun. But we can carry it wherever we go, and we can shine light wherever we go. And if the gospel is veiled, and for some people it's veiled, we try to teach them, we try to show them. They scoff, they mock. They modify, they compromise. But if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. So if we don't like something in the Scripture, and we've bought into the idea that we can modify the Scriptures to fit our way of thinking by just locking or walking it through one compromise after another, and suddenly we find that our life does not even come close to fitting what the Scripture actually says. So continuing on in verse 4, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's a pretty impressive statement for the Scriptures. The light of the glory, or the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. How many times in the Scriptures does it say that we should imitate Christ, that Christ is the image? You remember how Paul put it in Romans? God predestined those who are going to be called to be conformed to the image of His Son. His Son brought light into the world. His Son told His apostles to take that light, to go into all the world, to make disciples of all nations, to teach them to observe everything I commanded you, because that's in the light. Now, verse 6, he goes on to say, "It is the God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, there's another conundrum. How in the world, what does that mean? Well, I think when Nathanael asked Jesus to show us the Father, and Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The light is shining out of the darkness because in verse 4, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ is in the Scriptures. Every word of the Scriptures. When we look at the Scriptures with doubt, when we look at the Scriptures and say, that is a very harsh interpretation, no, it's not. It's what God revealed. God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we have started with God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And then we have seen that that light came down in Jesus Christ and now it's in the gospel. And the gospel reveals the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Paul says, the night is far spent. Now every generation, that's true. I mean, Paul wrote this, 2,000 years ago? But in each generation, the night is far spent. Many of us have been Christians for many years. And the longer we're Christian, the further the night is spending and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Well, I'll tell you something, brethren. If we don't like what the Scriptures say, we'll never be able to cast off the works of darkness. We talked this morning about agape love. Agape love is coming from the light of God's will and the light of God's word and even at the light of heaven. Many of us prefer the ways of darkness. We don't like the idea that you could never be rude, that you can never be provoked. We don't like the idea that we have to sacrifice ourselves, our time, our efforts for people who maybe in our own minds are not worthy of our time and effort. But they are. We need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provisions to the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, the whole purpose of this lesson, and I think the whole purpose of light and darkness, is just to get us to understand that we're not in any position to be judging the Scriptures. We're not. We don't have any way. The Scriptures are light. And the Scriptures don't judge us. We can't judge them. That's what James said. If you don't submit to the law, you become a judge of the law. We're not judges. How can we possibly judge God's law? What is our basis? What basis do I have to say, I don't think the 7 days of creation, we're in the 7 days of creation. I think they were billions of years or millions of years. They are long ages. Well, what basis? It's coming from the darkness. Now we're judging the light. By the darkness, where do you think we're going to end up? We need to cast off the works of darkness and understand that if it's not in the Scriptures, God says it's darkness. Now, I may not like that. I may not always adhere to that, but I need to try and you need to try. And that's what Jesus told Paul when he called him. Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Can you imagine? I was thinking about that this morning. How Paul's heart must have just sunk to his shoes. He thought he was the best Jew ever. That's what he tells us. We'll get to this in Philippians in a couple of weeks. As far as the zeal for the law persecuting the church, I was the best Jew you could ever imagine. And then Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. Can you imagine what Jesus thinks when people today are judging Paul by their own ideas and condemning Paul? When Paul was set, handpicked, and sent by Jesus to witness the things he had seen then and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. That's what the books that Paul wrote are doing, unless we say in our own hearts, I can't trust Paul. But if you say you can't trust Paul, you're really saying, I can't trust the Holy Spirit who inspired him. Paul is very clear. None of these words are mine. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Or how that by revelation I made known the mystery as I wrote before in a few words. And when you read, you will have my understanding to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, do not let people today intimidate us. They're in the darkness. And they're using their own dark reasonings to put darkness for light and light for darkness. Paul opened our eyes. Paul turned us from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God. And when we blaspheme Paul, speak evil of Paul, condemning ourselves to be in the darkness. Light has always been in the Scriptures. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed, I will keep your righteous judgments. That's what this is. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction. You know, Paul does a lot of reproving in the Scriptures. A lot of reproving. He condemns so many practices that we see being practiced today. Practices that, because we've been around it so long, we don't. Sometimes we see the Scripture and we say, I don't understand why the Scriptures are so strong on that. Or I don't understand why Jesus said that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. If we don't understand it, it means we're still in the darkness. And brethren, we have to accept that. We have to accept that everything in this book is light. Come down from heaven in the form of Jesus, who then, through the Holy Spirit, brought all of his light into the teachings of the apostles, into the Scriptures. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. That is a very clear, good expression for the gospel. The glorious light of the gospel. The light that is in the darkness. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You know, if we listen to them, we're going to stumble too. because they don't have anything to offer. Scientists, teachers, politicians, wealthy, they don't know anything. They don't have anything to offer us. They don't know anything about God. If it's not in the scriptures, it's darkness. We're not in the darkness. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Now that's true. If, as Paul said a few chapters earlier, I thank God that when you accepted the word of the message which we preached to you, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which works, effectively works, energizes those of you who believe it. So therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, because we've accepted the inspiration and the light that comes from this word. And so God has given us this important warning. It's the last one we're going to get. As Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one which judges him. The light of the glorious gospel, which reveals the image, the glorious image of his face. If you don't accept that, it will still judge you. That's why it's light. It's absolute truth. And brethren, we have one or two choices. If we're going to be a Christian, you know, when a Christian is a word that's just thrown around today without much meaning at all. I'm a Christian. And I believe in evolution. And I believe homosexuals should be in the church. And I believe that women should be preaching. And I believe that, and we could just go on and on and on, all of these, quote, Christians. But if we want to be a genuine, true Christian, we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. This word is that light. And so as we conclude our lesson this evening, we're about to sing the song of encouragement. If there's anyone in the audience who realizes that maybe they've compromised a little bit, maybe the light of the scriptures has been dimmed by the philosophies of men, which is always the problem that God's people face. So if there's anyone here in this audience this evening who needs to obey the gospel and come to the light, or who has gone into the darkness and needs to come back, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.